On today's Insights, we share the key to writing captivating job descriptions. How should you react when Facebook unpublishes your company page? And Matt has a challenge for every listener. Today's episode is brought to you by Haley Marketing Group. If you're like most staffing firms, finding good candidates right now is a major struggle. At Haley Marketing, we have a number of tools that will help you recruit both active and passive candidates, drive more traffic to your job board, and increase applications. To learn more, give us a call at 888-696-2900. This is Insights.
Welcome to Insights, tips and best practices from the insiders at Haley Marketing. Insights will provide you with the tools you need to master your social media, digital marketing, and employer branding. Your hosts for Insights are Brad Biley and Matt Lozar.
What's up? This is Brad Biley, and welcome back to another episode of Insights, the podcast built to help you with your recruitment and digital marketing. As always, I'm joined by Haley Marketing's Director of Recruitment Marketing. He's Matt Lozar. Matt, how are we feeling this week?
We're good, Brad. We are settled back into the groove. The calendar's flipped. Everybody seems to have settled down after catching up from the holidays, and we're ready to continue attacking 2020.
We're getting after it, Matt. I feel good. We put out fresh content on LinkedIn, some video content, you and I. We have the Insights transcripts firing and going out. We have Insights and Secrets of Staffing Success in the queue. From a content standpoint, you and I think we're back firing after the holidays, and I'm excited to get to another episode of Insights.
Content Blueprint.
Matt, let's talk job descriptions. As Haley Marketing's Director of Recruitment Marketing, you spend a large portion of your day looking at job descriptions, and more importantly, looking at the actions that result because of that job description, the actual apply. When we think about job descriptions, Matt, and as we look at 2020, what should staffing firms and recruiting firms be looking to do when they craft a great job description?
This is a topic we wanted to bring up because even just this week, we've had a bunch of calls with current clients or prospects, and almost every single one is receptive or even brings up, what can we do better with our job descriptions? And the question is, it's almost not to think of it as a job description. And we've said this before on the show in past episodes of Insights, you know, almost apply for your own job, but take off the hat of being the recruiter or the owner of your staffing agency. Jump into a job candidate's seat, you know, or maybe look at jobs from other companies, maybe not staffing agencies, but non-staffing companies, and read those job descriptions. Think about what would get you excited right from the start, right? It's the job title has to be good to get us to click. We can have a debate about salary, probably not today, but that's going to get someone's eyes to perk up or to move on to the next job. And then right away, we have 9 second attention spans. Once they click on the job, what's in that opening 2-3 sentences to get someone excited to keep reading and or apply?
At record low unemployment, we're targeting and we're attracting that passive job seeker. So if we think about the passive job seeker, I want to reiterate what Matt's saying here is we have 9 seconds to captivate their attention, spark their interest, and actually get them to take action on that job description and on that job listing that you have on your site or on a site like Indeed or Glassdoor or ZipRecruiter. And as we look at that job description and getting that individual to take action, what is going to get them to be motivated to apply? Are you including bits and pieces of your company culture? Are you starting with why? I know Matt and I have talked about Simon Sinek and Start With Why in the past, but are you leading with why? Why should that individual apply? What's in it for them? Or are you just listing the roles, the qualifications of the job itself? You know, Matt, you made a great point about really speaking to and captivating the attention of that job seeker. I want to challenge you, the listener, to go through and look at the jobs that are posted from your current staffing and recruiting firm and actually apply to one. Go through the listing, go through the description. Is it captivating? If you had a current job in that role and you were making a decent salary doing it, would you consider leaving that role for the job that you're currently reading right now on your own site? If not, we need to go back to the drawing board and we need to rethink what that description looks like.
The theme I like to say, and this was in actually my most read blog of 2019, The Ultimate Guide to Job Descriptions in 2019.
You can put a link to that in the show notes.
We sure will. What's in it for me? That's the phrase you have to think about. And as Brad alluded to here, it is what's in it for me. It's not the staffing agency owner. It's not your end client. It's what's in it for me, the job seeker, the job candidate. What can we do to get them to want to apply for that job, right? There's two different areas we can look at here. One, are your jobs getting clicks? If they're getting clicks, that means there's candidates in your market that are active and looking for jobs. Means whatever is on that first part of the page is really good. It's the title and the salary, which we kind of talked about a little bit earlier. The next part is, are they applying? So after they click, are they finding the information they want to get them to apply for a job, right? Work in a temperature-controlled factory, flexible schedule, opportunity for overtime, you know, pays above the market rate. Whatever is very unique about that job, that's what you want to highlight to get that candidate. And then also, the last thing I think is, if your quality of candidate's down, that job description, job posting, job advertisements, where you can really improve, because if your description or posting's boring, you're going to get boring candidates, right? Same thing with your website, boring candidates, boring leads. So what can you do to make that job really exciting to get quality candidates want to apply and work for you?
Matt, I want to get your thoughts on this idea. As an industry, the staffing industry still has that negative reputation. We're working diligently to improve that, and I've seen it improve in the 6 or so years, 7 years now that I've been with Haley Marketing Group. Should staffing and recruiting firms put a little blurb at the end of their description about why an end applicant should work with them? Should there be some sort of byline in there about who the staffing agency is and how they can improve the day-to-day of an actual applicant, or is that best left somewhere else? And the reason I ask is, if you're coming to a job description on a staffing company's website, is there that negative association with the staffing firm that we can beat the candidate to the punch and we could say, hey, here's why you should work with us. More importantly, here's why you should trust us with your career development.
I don't know if the job description is the right place to really make that long-term argument. I would think your company brand, your employer brand, all the other content is where you really start to change that long-term kind of viewpoint. In the short term, I would suggest the benefits of the job. So if it's with your staffing agency, you know, what are the really those short-term benefits? It could be, you know, the healthcare side, also could be other soft benefits to working for your company, which has been a big topic in ASA Central this week, right? Gene Fridays or, you know, birthdays off, those types of areas. The other part I would think is, if you're a best place to work, that would be the one thing about your staffing agency I would share in that job description. Are, you know, are you a local best place to work? Did you win an ASA client or candidate award? Excuse me. That's the main benefit I would say. I would say that long-term why staffing isn't great in the job description, I'd look at those quick hitting short, you know, quick benefits that a job candidate wants to see and want and get them to apply for that job.
Social reach.
Matt, we continue to see this across the staffing and recruiting industry, and it's something that our team has said we should talk about on Insights as a topic in social reach. How should you react when Facebook unpublishes your company page? Now, if you're unfamiliar with what I'm referring to, that's probably a good thing. That would mean that your page hasn't been taken down. And if you're unfamiliar with what we're talking about, I'm going to give you a real quick overview. Essentially, Facebook has the opportunity to unpublish any page that it feels the need to do so to. Now, what that means for staffing and recruiting firms is that without warning, Facebook can take down your company page, so much so that the public cannot see your Facebook page anymore. Now, this is a concern. You know, Facebook continues to grow in importance. There's 1.8 billion people that use Facebook on a consistent basis. Your candidates are on Facebook. Your potential prospects and clients are on Facebook. And if you spend a lot of advertising dollars on the Facebook platform, to just lose that overnight is a concern. So, Matt, we want to talk about this today, but how should you react when Facebook unpublishes that company page? What should you do, and where do you even get started?
Break out the rosary beads.
Say a quick prayer, right?
The first thing you have to do, And maybe later we could talk about how to prevent it from happening again or even happening. But I think right now, you know, your question was what to do when it happens. You have to respond to Facebook. Correct. And I don't want to say get down on your knees and beg for forgiveness, but it's a balance of, you know, we've had this kind of mentality here when we reach out to Facebook and something is disapproved or an unpublished page is, you know, apologize, say there wasn't any ill will or you weren't trying to explicitly violate policies. Yep. It's write pretty a really contrite, honest email. Say, you know, we're sorry this happened. We didn't, you know, intend to violate the policies. It's, you know, we made a mistake on our end. We will learn from this and try to avoid let it happen again.
And if you're thinking, well, that's great, I'll just email Zuckerberg himself, you certainly cannot do that. What will happen if your page does get taken down, and, you know, Matt and I both hope it never happens to you, if it does get taken down, there should be, in the settings of your page, a prompt where you can appeal what has happened to your page. So you'll want to click that button, click that link, and go through their appeals process. Now, that's not to say that Facebook will immediately give you the rights to your page back. They might take you through a process, they might not, in which case you have to reappeal that. You know, for me, it comes back to a bigger picture of not claiming stake in rented property. You know, we've talked on Insights time and time again how social media is a tactic and a tool, and it should not be the core foundation of your business. Your business should be able to thrive without Facebook. Now, Facebook can help. Facebook can certainly allow you to get in front of the right candidates. And as the product manager of our Social Pro product here at Haley Marketing Group, I see the value of Facebook day after day. But that's not to say that without Facebook, we wouldn't be okay as an industry. You know, we would start to look at other options. So if Facebook does unpublish your page, first thing we want to do is appeal that process. From there, we want to hope that they give it back to us, and really then it's just a waiting game.
Yeah, we don't know. We've seen pretty much all three scenarios. You know, you get republished, mm-hmm. you kind of get a yes, but, or, you know, yes, and have to maybe do something else, or, you know, information from Facebook and what to do again, or sorry, hard no.
Yeah.
And, you know, Brad joked about it, how, you know, you can't really just email Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO of Facebook, but they don't have a really, like, a help desk number you can call, or even it's tough to get in touch with them. You go through their appeal process and hope for the best.
Yeah, it's almost a bad answer, Matt. You know, we have a topic here, and on Insights, we try to be very tactical about what's going on. But what we want to do is we do want to appeal that, and then we want to really just go through the process.
I think the best way, you know, because we have a bad answer, probably our better answer is what can we do to prevent the red flags from getting raised, right? There's a lot of talk, if you read in the, you know, industry about maybe there's 3-strike policy or 2-strike policy, or there's a page quality score where if you push the envelope a number of times, that's when you go across that line and get shut down. So 3 takeaways that I would suggest right now that you could do. 1, the people posting to that page, make sure it's a real user profile.
Correct.
Don't make it look like it's a bot or just an empty blank image. Have a real user profile posting to that page.
And what Matt's saying there is if you're a page admin, so you are operating on behalf of XYZ staffing, that should be through your personal Facebook. Don't create what looks like a bot account.
2, when you're posting jobs, I think this has a huge impact. If it's a contract job, select job type contract. It's not full-time. It's not part-time. You might not want to say it's contract, but I think Facebook is smart enough and its algorithm is smart enough to read your job description. It might also be looking at other job descriptions from the direct company that's posting for that job. And there's a thought they think those are duplicate jobs, and you have to be as accurate as you can with your own job posting.
It's a good thought. Google doesn't like duplicate content. Facebook could potentially be shutting down those duplicate posts.
My last one is avoid the word you in those postings. If it's in a Facebook ad, if it's in your job posting, don't say you. Facebook has explicitly come out and said, you know, avoid the usage of the word you. And kind of a corollary to that, don't have it sound like a get-rich-quick scheme or a make-a-lot-of-money scheme. You know, make it sound like a real, honest job opportunity. Don't be too sensationalistic with your copy.
And that comes back to segment one in understanding those job descriptions, understanding that you're selling the role and you're being honest about that role. And if something were to happen to you, go through the appeals process, and then really just wait for that process to go through. Don't jump to conclusions from day one and launch a new Facebook page. You don't want to rush into anything. Move slow, act with precision, and really think through the equation of what should I do at this part of the process. And of course, if you do have questions with your social recruiting, your Facebook recruiting, if you have questions about your specific company Facebook page, if your page has been taken down and you just want a little help, we'd love to chat. We're always available as a resource at Haley Marketing Group for the staffing and recruiting industry when it comes to social media, when it comes to social recruiting. You can feel free to give us a call at 888-696-2900, or you could shoot us an email at info@haleymarketing.com.
Seen and heard.
Matt has a challenge for every listener. Matt, I'm going to put you on the spot, man. By March 31st, 2020, what do we want every listener to accomplish?
My challenge is I want staffing agencies, recruiters to know their cost per application. And that's by source. I want you to know that information. And the reason I think this challenge is important is recruitment is very difficult, right? One, unemployment is the lowest it's been in 50 years. Two, a report that just came out, job openings in November 2019, the biggest decrease on a month-by-month basis since August 2015. That's a red flag.
Say that one more time.
The decrease in job openings in November was the biggest monthly decrease we've seen since August 2015.
So if you're feeling that pinch of not having those job orders, that's nationwide.
We are, and we're starting to hear that from clients. In the last 6-9 months, it's been job orders are going away, and that can be a leading indicator of potential economic recession, and there's a whole political scenario playing into this. There's a lot of unrest and uncertainty. But to get back to the challenge here, why do I want you to know the cost per application per source? It makes your ROI that much better.
Correct.
It's, if I know on Indeed my applications are $3, if I know on Facebook my applications are $5, if I know on ZipRecruiter it's $4, or on Glassdoor it's $10, one, that helps you understand where the cost of your applications are coming from. And it's going to make your budgeting of that recruitment spend that much more effective.
Matt, I think I speak for a lot of listeners here when I can say I'm not fully sure I understand how to track that cost per application. You know, as I work with different clients and different individuals throughout the staffing and recruiting industry, I can easily identify, hey, I'm spending $10,000 a month on my job advertising. I know I run some money over here, some money over there. Some months I boost jobs on Facebook, sometimes I don't. How can I systematically understand, okay, here's my cost per application by source? Because that seems like a lofty goal.
It is a lofty goal, and it's a big challenge. And Brad correctly put the end date of that challenge at the end of quarter one. So it's a couple month time frame from when we're recording and publishing this podcast. The first part is know where you're spending your money, right? Let's get in line and say, okay, I'm spending this amount on source one, source two, source three. And it doesn't just have to be job boards. It could be anywhere. It could be a conference. It could be a job fair. It could be a local recruiting event.
The local newspaper.
Exactly. Think about, get that in line. And then the next step, which is a challenge, and I've heard this actually this week as well from a couple of people, is the team of recruiters has to be tracking that source. And they have to take that seriously, because if Brad Biley applies for the job, we need to know what the source was Brad applied for. Was it newspaper ad? Was it Google search? Was it Facebook? Was it a job board? Which job board was it? You really have to have that priority be at the top of your recruiters, because we're only as good as the data that we have, right? We can have lots of data. If it's bad data, that gives us bad results.
You're only as good as your worst data, right? I fully understand that, Matt. So to me, listening here, it seems like it starts with an audit. Understanding, and maybe this is what you tackle for the month of February. In February, we are going to audit our job advertising spend. We're going to look at every single source that we are sending money, and we are going to just document it. We're going to say we're spending X here, X there. And we're going to really get granular with that, and we're going to write it down. From there, as we look at March, we're going to think through having some sort of system in place. Maybe it's as simple as a spreadsheet, a Google sheet, where you're going to document where all of your leads come from, where you think through all of your applications, where they come from, so that your team can really systematically have that in place. Does that make sense to you, Matt, as a starting point at least?
No, it's a great starting point, and it's a really good challenge, and I think we also have to look at, you know, if that manual is not working, how can you automate that process, right? Could you have job board software that integrates with your ATS that can send it back in automatically? If, you know, we've worked with some ATS, like Bullhorn's a perfect example of that, where I've seen it work very well. I'm sure there are lots of others. It could be a programmatic solution, right? Where you have all your data going into one place and to collect it there. One of the pain points we hear all the time is, I'm posting jobs on Indeed, I'm posting jobs on Facebook, I'm posting jobs on ZipRecruiter, I'm posting jobs on CareerBuilder, I'm posting jobs on Monster. I have to log into five places, one to post, then two to figure out afterwards this audit, you know, Brad kind of laid out there what to do after that. So if all that data can get collected into one place, that makes it so much easier.
And really the best part from there is once you have that data, you understand your cost per application, and from there you know where to allocate more money. If you're spending $18 for an application on source A, and you're spending 75 cents per an application on source B, it'd make a heck of a lot of sense to start reallocating that.
And
right?
I'll push back a little bit on the example Brad said. Yes, it makes a lot of sense on the surface, but at the end, then we can look at, okay, we have those applications, but then once you get this base in place, what's the cost per quality application, right? Or what's the cost per placement, or what's the gross margin you're getting on those actual sources? Because that's the literal ROI. Whenever we've talked about that to staffing agency owners, they're like, now you're speaking my language, because we're talking money out, we're talking money back in. And there's a lot more complexity to it than that, but that's the challenge right now, right? Get your audit in order, get your sources and budget in order, and create the right system for your team internally to track so that you know what cost per application data is for your staffing agency and your team.
If you want to learn more about tracking the cost per application for your staffing or recruiting firm, I encourage you to reach out to our Director of Recruitment Marketing, Matt Lozar. You could connect with him on LinkedIn, and then he can transfer you back over to email. But you could search for Matt Lozar. We'll put a link to his LinkedIn profile in the show notes, and you can have a quick chat with him about how to generate and figure out your cost per application for your staffing and recruiting firm. That's our show, and thank you for listening to another episode of Insights. If you found this episode valuable, we ask that you please tell just one coworker about it this week. You have a question for us? You could tweet us at Haley Marketing and let us know what you're thinking, or email info@haleymarketing.com. And of course, if you need a hand with your marketing or recruitment marketing initiatives, we would love to help. You could check out haleymarketing.com to get in touch with our team of marketing educators. For my podcast partner, Matt Lozar, this is Brad Biley. We'll see you next time.